What's question number three? Let me see. The loss there. Mark that off. Mark that one off. Oh, well, this is good. Let's turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Next question is, what does the phrase, their worm dieth not, mean? Well, that's real simple. What that means is, their worm dieth not. As my fellow asked me one time, he said, preacher, he said, can you tell me who Melchizedek was? I said, sure I can. He said, well, who was he? I said, Melchizedek. Those are toughies, you know. Now, I've had folks over the years say, well, what does it mean over there in Mark 9:44, and their worm dieth not? 9:44, 46, and 48. Phrased in there three times. It's better enter into life, maimed, halt, etc., etc., than to be cast into hellfire where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So what does that mean? Well, let's see if we can find out. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. A fellow said one time, commentaries are like sheep. They follow one after another and they've all gone astray. If you read commentaries about the Bible, God only knows what you can read. I've read some good stuff. I've read some bad stuff. And then I found this out years and years ago. I've got shelf after shelf after shelf of commentaries. And the honest truth is, about 6 months ago or a year ago, I filled up 5 great big cardboard boxes with commentaries, hauled them to the dumpster and threw them all away. They ain't nothing but junk. After you read enough of them things, I can read 20 pages in any commentary and tell you who the guy's copying. I mean, they all say the same thing. And you know what I found out? I found out that they all skip the same verses. I remember when I first got saved, the fellow led me to the Lord, loved Oliver B. Green. Now, I love Oliver B. Green. I think he was a great preacher and great evangelist and all that, but he's a terrible book writer. But I didn't know that then, and he said, man, so you got to get Oliver B. Green's books. So I bought all of Oliver B. Green's books. There were 58 hardback books. I bought all of them. In 4 months, I read every last one, every word of every book. And you know what I found out reading Oliver B. Green? That every time he came to a controversial verse, he sidestepped it. Really aggravated me. Because there were a couple of verses I wanted an answer for. And I read Oliver B. Green, this great Bible expositor, and he never answered one of those questions. So somebody said, well, preacher, what you need to do is you need to get John R. Rice, the 20th century's mightiest pen, founder and editor of The Sword of the Lord. So I bought all of John R. Rice's books, and I read all of John R. Rice's books, and you know what? When I got down to those same tough verses, you know what John R. Rice did? Sidestepped them. He never answered one of my questions. And I've been reading commentaries for 20 years. And there's about 15 verses in the Bible that ain't nobody, I mean nobody, ever tried to answer. Now, it just so happens that Mark 9:44 is one of them. When you get to Mark 9:44 in Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, one volume Bible encyclopedia, it doesn't say anything. And if you read Adam Clark when you get to Mark 9:44, it doesn't say anything. And if you read Mark 9:44 in Oliver B. Green, you know what he says? Nothing. Them guys skip them verses. So, we're not going to tell you what the commentaries say because commentaries don't say anything. I'll show you what the Bible says about their worm dieth not. Take your Bible and let's turn to some verses. Let's start in Job chapter 25. Job 25. Oops, I'm in 32. That's way too far. Job 25. Now, we're looking at Job chapter 25, verse 6. That's 24. Where's 25? There it is. And verse 5. Behold, even the moon, and it shineth not, yea, the stars not pure in his sight, how much less man that is a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm. So now, according to the Bible, you're a what? You see God's opinion of you? Do you know why unsaved people don't like this Bible? because it looks like God don't like you. Man thinks he's such a big shot and such a wheel. You know, we got such a vaunted opinion of ourselves. And God said, you're a worm. Doesn't exactly make you feel good about yourself, does it? All right, take your Bible while you're there, and let's turn to Psalm 22:6. Psalm 22:6. Verse 5, they cried unto me and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. That he's a worm, not a man. Look at Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. All right, now in Isaiah chapter 41, look down along verse 14. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. God just called Jacob a what? He's a worm. Isn't that a blessing? Now, let me show you a really good verse here. Turn to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. In Isaiah 66, look down in verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their face be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Now that verse said they're going to look on the carcasses. And then it says, their worm dieth not. Their carcasses are worms. Got it? He says, well, preacher, what's the conclusion? Well, the conclusion is that man is a worm. Now listen, when you get saved, you have a new father. Right? God becomes your father. And one of these days, in eternity, after you go through the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to get a what? You're going to get a brand new body like unto His glorious body. You're going to get a body just like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a reward for salvation. It's part of your inheritance. You're going to get a brand new, supernatural, absolutely incredible, unimaginable body. Going to be just like His. Now, if you studied your Bible very much, you know that everything that God does, the devil mimics. Jesus Christ has got a bride. Revelation chapter 20. The devil has got a bride. Jesus Christ has got a city, Jerusalem. The devil's got a city, Rome. Everything that Jesus tries to do, the devil imitates. Now, when you get saved, you are destined for a brand new body. Do you know what you get if you belong to the devil? You get a body like his. Well, what is he? All right, Revelation 12:9. Please turn over there and read that. Revelation 12:9. Now, see, Jack Van Impe got this thing wrong. Have been teaching Bible prophecy concerning this wrong for 30 years. All because he couldn't believe exactly what that thing says. Revelation 12:9. Everybody got it? The devil is a what? He's a serpent. He's called what? He's called the devil and Satan. But what is he? He is a serpent. Now, serpent comes from the word serpentine, serpentine. You know what a worm is? It's a serpentine or serpentine creature. And so, if you refuse Jesus Christ and die, your worm dieth not. When the saved get a body like the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the lost get a body like their father. They get the body of a worm. And that's what that thing's talking about. In Isaiah 66, that thing, that's the Armageddon out there. That's people coming in the millennium to look at the dead carcasses, the worms that die not, in Isaiah 66. And it shall be a loathing unto all nations. I mean, this is going to be an abhorring. People are going to walk out there and look at that thing and just be absolutely revolted at their stomach. Now, that word for worm there, where it said, and their worm dieth not, their worm dieth not, that word is the word for a red maggot. You wonder what happens? I mean, the term their worm dieth not means? It means their worm dieth not. They end up with a body of a red maggot, and it lives forever. It never dies. And their worm dieth not. You see, we spend so much time talking about the splendor of heaven and the glories of heaven and the greatness and the grandeur of eternal life that we spend very little time on the horrors of hell and the horrors of missing Jesus Christ. We think that it's an awful thing to end up in the pit of the damned, in a place that is forever dark, where people are tormented day and night in flame, and miss one of the greatest horrors in the Bible, that all those people who reject Jesus Christ end up like their father. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye shall do. And they end up just like their father, a little serpentine creature, like a maggot. You know what it's going to be like in the lake of fire? It's going to be a giant pile of oozing, slithering, sightless, handless, footless maggots. You know what's going to be going on inside those heads? That's going to be men and women, boys and girls who rejected Jesus Christ, and for all time and eternity, while you're celebrating up in heaven and rejoicing at your salvation and serving God forever and ever with never a care, never a fear, never a regret, never a doubt, never a sickness, they will forever and ever in blind helplessness remember the last time they rejected Jesus Christ and slipped off into hell. Say, preacher, that's not a pretty picture. It's not intended to be a pretty picture. It ought to be a goad in your side. One, to keep you out of hell. Two, to help you keep other people out of hell. I mean, you know what you ought to think about? You ought to think about your mama or your daddy or your brothers or your sisters. Forever in that nameless, faceless pile of slithering maggots, tormented through all time and eternity. It might give you the boldness to witness to them. Amen. All right. Some of y'all have just looked just stunned, just like I lost my mind. I didn't lose my mind. And by the way, that's not all the references. I just gave you enough to get you started good. Let's see.